Hello. Welcome to Add This to Your List, episode 98.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
I am Fumi Simano, joined by Tom Chuba and Mark Jerry Parker.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We are trekking along, and we're getting closer and closer to our significant and wonderful episode 100, which we're really excited about.
Can you believe we are almost there, guys? Whoa.
Century mark.
Wow. Right? Yes.
You know, it's a big number. It's something to be proud of.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
We're going to be in syndication, baby.
Right?
We've got a good show for you guys today. We're going to get into our housekeeping and headlines, and we've got a good list for y'all, and then we're going to do a fun block about musicals in because we're really excited for Hamilton that's going to be dropping on Disney Plus, and
huge.
So we feel like we want to talk about musicals
in anticipation for my
that's thank you in
yes.
anticipation. I just woke up from a nap, full disclosure, so my mind is my mind is like, what's
get that
on?
Beauty rest, girl, get that beauty,
love
rest.
It
So, with that being said, let's get into some housekeeping and headlines. Mm-hmm. I believe we've got a couple little things to talk to you guys about. So why don't we start with, let's start with Tom and Mark, because last episode I shared my thoughts on Love, Victor, and I said it was an okay to miss.
Which was controversial. Some people were like, I disagree.
What? I know, right? So Tom and Mark, you guys have to tell me what you guys thought of the show.
Tom, you go first, because I think you've watched the whole season, Tom?
I have, yeah.
Go
I
for
finished
it.
The whole
tell
season. Fumi, I think you're on crack. I think it's a resounding ad.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Now, Fum, I will tell you that I do see what you meant about it being, you know, a little cornier than Love, Simon, a little lighter, but I do think that it got stronger as it went on, particularly, Mark, how far into it are you?
I have watched the first three episodes, so I'm not as far as you.
At some point you do get to see Simon again, so
I heard
that episode in particular.
I read an article
really
about
strong.
It I forget who wrote it, maybe Vulture, and Jesus Christ, they spoiled the whole goddamn season, so I already know that
they told
Simon,
you about,
I mean, like, there was not even a warning, so I kind of know what goes on, but yeah, that's I'm excited to see Simon. Yeah, later on.
Yeah, no, I loved Love, Victor. I thought it was a great companion series to the movie.
Did you not like it in the beginning and then started to like it more and more as you went on? Or, like, immediately you were like, what the hell is Fumi talking about? This shit is the bomb. Like, first episode in.
No, I think I would have, like you, been like, okay, episode one is okay, but then the character started growing on me after that.
Interesting.
Victor's character started to grow on you.
All of the characters.
Oh, okay.
Victor, and in particular Mia, who's played by wonderful actress Rachel
Hilson,
who is the young version of Susan Kalichi-Wasson on This Is Us.
Yeah.
Fantastic actress. Her character, Mia, very much grew on me, just as much as Victor's.
It's so interesting.
I like his sister, Pilar.
Oh, yeah, Pilar. She's great. But Mia, every time Greg has decided not to continue. I'll get into that in a bit.
Yes,
he's more on my side,
I feel like. Oh, Tom,
that, yeah?
It is so not for him. He watched the first episode, he's like, okay. And he's like, oh, there's more. Oh, no, this is all you. This is all you. This is not for him whatsoever.
I'm going to spank him when I see him in a few weeks.
All right,
Is it too corny for him?
For him, yeah. Well, first of all, he's kind of like, which is surprising that Tom likes it so much, because I feel like Greg and Tom do not love the high school drama show, which is
typically what I love.
Right, right.
So yeah, Greg is like, this is just not for me. It's cute. He's happy it exists, but it's like, no. But every time he sees me watching and Mia is on screen, he always goes, oh, the 40-year-old actor is playing a teenager, because something about her.
Jeff says the same thing. He's like, why does she look like an adult trapped in a young person's body?
And I'm sure she's young. I'm sure she's only like early 20s, but something about that actress, and I've never seen her in This Is Us. I've never seen her in anything else. She does seem quite older. She's so poised.
Beyond her years.
Her voice, it's just like, are you like 45 playing like 20? But yeah, that's a little tangent. How I forget, Fum, how many episodes did you watch? Two?
Well, I'll say this, okay? Because after I said that, you guys had such a strong reaction, and then we had texted offline, yes. And you guys were like, Fumi, you're batshit crazy. And then, like, I saw it was trending, and everybody's like, oh my god, this show's so cute. And then I had a couple other friends who were like, this show's so adorable. So I was like, maybe I overreacted.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't give it a chance. I went back, and I watched. I couldn't get through the middle, I'll have to be honest. It just is not a show for me.
Yeah.
But I did go back, and I watched, like, the last, like, two or three episodes. And it was cute. Like, it has great music. I think
great,
they,
yeah, really, the music, really the great music is the best thing about it. Absolutely.
So I went back and I ended up watching an extra like two episodes. I did see the episode where he goes to where he sees Simon, or Simon comes in, or however they do it.
Yeah.
And then I saw the very ending, which I think I'll reserve and still say that I do feel like it's still an okay to miss. However. Okay. It does leave season two to be quite interesting, so I will check out season two to see if I will still feel the same way.
I have a feeling, because I'm sure there's a season two, and that's so interesting you say that, Foom. I haven't gotten there yet, but I have a feeling season two will be different. It'll be made for Hulu. It won't be cheesy. I bet it's going to be one of those shows that totally feels different in a better way for season two. Because my take on it, long story short, as I was texting you, I loved the first episode. It was very exciting. I'll be honest. I don't love that he is bisexual. I just feel like that's not love, Simon.
That part gets clarified, Mark.
Okay. Because that, I gotta be honest, you know, that's cool. But that's not love, Simon, love, Victor. Like, that's not the love, Simon franchise I signed up for. I wanted to watch, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't really care that he's dating a girl and that he's kind of leading her on. I gotta be honest, I don't give a shit about her friend Lake and her love interest. Like,
Lake ends up being one of my favorite characters at the end.
Okay.
Is that the blonde?
I understand. Yeah. Yes, she's very annoying in the beginning, but she will grow on you, and there's quite a character arc.
Okay.
For her.
So yeah, I'm gonna keep watching, but I totally see both sides. I like it, but I'm also kind of like, meh. I love Anna Ortiz. I think she's great. I love what's going on with the weird marriage stuff. I'm not too far into it, so I like that.
The dad is hot.
The dad's not a great actor, though, so it really
he's not.
Takes me out of it.
The one last thing I do want to say, which I feel like the three of us talk about a lot, is the amount of content that's on shows, on streaming, on air. It really is, like, I feel like if you're not going to come out the gate and, like, grab an audience and really, like, put your best foot forward, then, you know, it kind of is a little hard to just be like, what are y'all doing? And I feel like they had the time to do that. So that's probably my one thing for Love, Victor. I was like, I think it's cute. It's a cute show. It's just not necessarily for me, the subject matter. But I do feel like they had the time. And, like, I'm actually kind of surprised by Hulu, because Hulu does go there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They could have just, like, really come out and, like, grabbed us, you know?
And it's interesting. I found, for one of my upcoming acting classes, I found the pilot script, which is a tiny bit more PG-13. So.
Interesting.
Yes, and it was for Disney, but, like, there's a little bit more, like, dick jokes. And, like, so it is interesting. The goal was to be a little.
It got watered down.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I guess that wasn't my last thing I have to ask you guys. Are you guys bothered by the fact that the main character is not gay and has been vocal about not being so?
Interesting. I don't know much about him. So he's not gay, and he has explicitly said, like, no, I'm straight, that whole thing. Because he kind of comes off a little gay to me, like, not even actor-wise. Like, I'm just like, you know what? I got to be honest. He's good, and he's super cute, and, like, I think I'm okay with it. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
I think it's okay.
And I do, to the fact about it being watered down, I do think that Hulu or Disney or whoever, I think that they were, their initial goal was that this would truly be a family show, right? Like, a show that you could sit down where parents could watch with their teenagers. So I think that's a really fine line to have to kind of straddle. But I do think season two will be different and potentially edgier.
Real quick, before we move on, I do like the character of Benji, the guy that is gay and Victor's sort of crushing on.
Oh, I did not like him.
Okay, maybe he becomes unlikable.
Funny the way you guys have the different.
Oh, I kind of like him. I like the hair in the eyes. I like the cool coffee guy. It's like, okay, this is working for me. Do we know at all if that actor's gay? I haven't researched anyone.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know.
I would hope if I keep wanting to call him Simon. If Victor isn't gay, like, one of the one of the leads has to be gay in real life, but maybe not. Who knows? Whatever. But yeah, I'm going to keep watching, but I totally see where you both stand. Foom, it's not the best. Tom, I still appreciate it. Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
Tom, Golden Globes.
Ooh.
Yeah, so last episode we had said that we had touched upon the fact that the Oscars definitely decided to push their ceremony to late April. Mm-hmm. No surprise, I just wanted to follow up and let listeners know that Golden Globes and Critics' Choice have now followed suit. They will be in late February and March, respectively. And do we have any word on SAG yet? Do you guys know
the
Screen Actors Guild?
I'm sure it's all postponed. Yeah. Because that's usually, what, late January? So now I guess it'll be late February or March. Probably March.
But here's my thing. I sit here and I wonder, is that enough time? Because Tenet was supposed to hit theaters in July, and that just got pushed to August 12th.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure a lot of other films are going to jump their slots right now to a later point. So I don't know. I feel like we're going to be playing this game for a while.
Either way.
I honestly think a lot of productions were banking on getting international filming, and with the potential ban on Americans traveling.
Yeah,
so I think that's going to put
a
dent into things. I think that, you know, as we were just talking about before we started filming, there's an uptick on cases all across the United States, except for two states. So I don't know. We might not be having any ceremonies and award seasons next year.
I am so damn curious how the Emmys will go in September, because they are not canceled, y'all. So this will be very interesting if we just see the various nominees at home and they just accept an award from their couch. I would be into it. I'm cool with that. But
I'd be okay with
ultimately
that.
My prediction, all award shows for this next season, when they're delayed, whenever they air, the ratings are going to be awful because people aren't going to care. They're not even going to know when they're on anymore. I have a prediction. It will not be good for ratings. That's my thought.
Mark, what do you have?
I have a couple housekeeping items. The first one, just want to let you guys know, if you haven't heard already, I thought this was very interesting. We, of course, are big Scream fans. We talked the last couple episodes about the upcoming Scream 5. No big casting news besides David Arquette, but we will no longer, of course, be seeing the Weinstein logo or Dimension. Because Lantern Media Group has now a partnership with Paramount. So we are going to see the Paramount Pictures logo when that film begins. They are going to distribute Scream 5, hopefully, they say, in 2021, 25 years after the first one, 10 years after the last one. So I thought that was interesting because I don't know about you guys, but I just know, like, my mind, like, Dimension Films, that logo is such a part of that franchise, right?
Dimension Films with the phone
with
ringing.
With the phone ringing,
like,
or with,
you know,
screaming, or with whatever. So we're going to see instead the stars. So it's cool. It will feel, like, different, but hopefully the same. So I thought that was kind of fun. And then another topic that I thought was also really interesting, maybe a little bit more serious. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I've never loved it. I've never gotten into it. But I know they had written four new episodes for their new season, whenever that will shoot. But because of all the Black Lives Matter protests and everything going on with police brutality in the news these last few weeks, months, they have completely scrapped those four episodes that were fully written, fully approved. They've thrown them all in the garbage. Terry Crews, one of the actors on the show, said because of everything that's going on, they are going to go in a whole different direction. So we don't know what that is. But that, I thought, was very interesting for a sitcom. So who knows? Maybe it might get a little bit more serious in the new season, or I don't know. But they have completely gone in a different direction and are starting from scratch and rewriting their new season. So that's kind of cool.
I hope they're not counting on Terry Crews to give any insight, because he's had some tweets and some things he said that are very problematic.
Oh, no.
And I would hope that has someone who, anybody who's Black, to help him work through his thought processes on some of the things he said. So
that's a super interesting point. Yeah, maybe he's not the best one to be involved. Hopefully he is strictly acting and not, you know, on the creative side. I don't know. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I guess they're now in the midst of completely creating new ideas.
And what is your headline?
So yeah, real quick, sorry that I'm taking this segment over. I thought this headline was interesting as well. NBC, as we know, about a month or so ago, had that cool Parks and Rec reunion episode that we chatted about briefly on the show. They're bringing the whole cast back for 30 Rock. They are going to do a special, I believe, one-hour show airing very soon, July 16th. Thursday night, must see TV.
So I guess Parks and Rec was a success. Then,
I was literally just going to ask that question.
I guess so, right?
Yawn for me, but whatever.
Yeah, well, as you guys might remember, I didn't love the reunion episode. It was fine, but like, it's hard because these sitcoms really rely on some physical stuff and the camera moving. So when they're just home in front of their computers, it's a little meh. But I mean, 30 Rock is one of the best, so it'll be fun to see. Apparently the whole cast is coming back. The weird thing about this, though, that I thought was mentioning was worth mentioning, so there, I guess it's going to be like an hour-long special, but it's not really an episode of the show. It's actually an NBC upfront special to show clips of new shows, which is very rare for a network to do. Usually upfronts are for like in-house and like advertisers to look at. You don't really, I mean, you'll see eventually trailers for shows, but you don't really see an upfront presentation televised on TV. So this will be weird. I assume it's going to be like, hi, here are clips of our upcoming slate whenever they will shoot and air. And then here's like little skits from the 30 Rock cast. So I don't know. That feels a little weird, but I think it could be meta enough where, you know, they'll have Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey talking about the NBC upfronts in character. So, you know, either way, I thought that was kind of fun news. So we'll see how that goes. July 16th.
July 16th. Oh.
Yeah. In a couple weeks.
All right. Well, that's it for housekeeping and headlines.
Yeah. So that means it is time for our list. You guys ready to get into it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Okay, people, there's lots to watch out there. You know the drill. Tom, Fumi, and I are going to get into what we have been watching these last couple weeks. Let's see what we're loving, hating, adding, skipping. Let's start with Tom first this time, because we sort of teased a certain film that we would get into that is a little polarizing for this group. Tom, take it away.
Yep, so I've got two things on my list, and the first, as I promised last episode, is the movie Shirley with Elizabeth Moss and Michael Stuhlbarg.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Moss plays Shirley Jackson, who is a pretty prominent author. She was at her height in the 50s and 60s, and the work that everybody probably would know, she wrote The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
Which we all loved the Netflix iteration of that
absolutely.
A couple years back.
Oh my gosh.
That Mike
Can't
Flanagan
wait.
Directed. Can't
for
wait
more
for the
episodes.
New one.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, totally. So Shirley is, a lot of people are calling it a biopic. I don't think that's an accurate representation at all, but it basically takes you into a very brief period of this woman's life. Now, and a lot of this is unclear, but Shirley apparently suffered from some severe mental health problems, and her husband was kind of all over the place, and he was really focused on his work. So the movie focuses on a short period in time where some outside visitors come to visit Shirley and her husband. The husband in this group of outside visitors, he's going to kind of be an apprentice to Shirley's husband, who's a pretty successful professor in academia. Mm-hmm. And the wife of this couple kind of forms a friendship / relationship / it's unknown with Shirley as Shirley, you know, delves into some of her deep and dark writing. So convoluted plot, yes. But all that is to say, I'm going to say that this is an add this to your list, but it's a one and done. I'm going to say it's an add this to your list only to see Elizabeth Moss do some really good work. The movie, for me, the first hour was really intriguing. The first half was really intriguing. I thought I was interested. I thought it was going to go somewhere. And then it just took a really weird turn and ended up going nowhere that I thought it was going to go. And not in a good way. I just thought there was such potential with all of the material that they could have done with Shirley Jackson's life. And I don't know. I feel like it was wasted. The cinematography was beautiful. It's a beautifully shot film. There's some really deep reds, and there's a lot of dreamscapes. So that part was cool, but other than that, I just I don't know. It wasn't for me, and I know Fumi, you feel the same.
Oh my god, this was such a. It was a garbage movie, in my opinion. I honestly did not like it in any way, shape, or form. I sat there and I listened to it and I watched it and I was like, what am I watching? Like, what is this?
Did you start basically like tuning out like right away, Foom? What did you know instantly?
Immediately, I knew immediately. Oh, see, it took me a while. But I tried to sit there and give it a chance, and then I think 20 minutes in, I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, have you seen it?
I have seen most of it. I have not finished it yet. I swear I will. Because
don't bother.
Again, well, here's the thing. Again, much like Love, Victor, I'm right in the middle. I totally see where you both are coming from. Because, Tom, it is sort of mesmerizing. I do want to see what happens. I've watched at least an hour, I think. It took me a few tries. You know, she's great. Everyone's great. It looks good, but here's the thing. I did not like... So it's directed by Josephine Decker, and she did this very oddball indie movie a year or two ago, Madeline's Madeline, if you guys heard about that. It was nominated for an Indie Spirit. No. Oh, I shut that off after like 7 minutes. I was like, oh, this is fucking weird, and I don't like this, and it's making me angry, and it's weird. So she's weird. This is luckily less weird. So, Foom, I would love to hear what you think about that other movie. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Tom.
I have to be honest. I'm surprised Elizabeth Moss did this movie. I don't know.
Well, like, it gives her... there's a lot of material for her to sink her teeth into. And like I said, I think her performance is fantastic. I mean, that girl can act her ass off. But
her performance is definitely good. But from what I've seen, she doesn't have to do a whole lot.
But it's angry all the time.
Yeah, I'm angry. I mean, she does some cool looks to like her husband. I mean, really, the young girl has more to do. And she's pretty good.
Odessa. She got on my nerves.
Okay. I love looking at little Logan Lerman growing.
Yeah, Logan Lerman shirtless. Name? Yeah.
I know. So, yeah, I think it's totally a one and done.
Why do you want to go back? If you have to force yourself to watch it in that way.
I know what you mean. That's the thing. I'm not really – I am mesmerized by it. I do find it kind of interesting. I like how we're sort of in her mind. But there is something also that I don't love. So maybe that's why I just want to keep watching to see, like, does it get better? Does it get worse? So I can decide, is this good or bad? I guess I haven't decided yet, is this a good or bad movie? You know what I mean?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But the good news is the second thing on my list I'm going to say is an add this to your list. And I mean that with all sincerity. That is a little indie darling that we've been hearing about since Sundance called Never Rarely Sometimes Always.
Yes.
It is a movie about a teenage girl in high school. You're never quite sure of her age. You just know that she is young enough to not be able to get an abortion in the state of Pennsylvania where she lives without parental consent. So if I haven't given it away, it's about a teenager who finds out that she's pregnant. It's an accident, obviously. She knows she doesn't want this baby. She knows that she can't even, you know, carry it to full term to explore adoption. That's not an option for her family. And so she embarks on a road trip with her cousin to New York City on a bus because New York, you know, they allow later term abortions. And she goes to New York with her cousin to try and work this out. And so it's kind of a coming of age story in a way. It's a story about a relationship between two girls who are very different, but they have a familial bond. I thought it was wonderful. It's very matter of fact. It doesn't make any judgments either way on either side of the abortion spectrum. It's just, you know, very matter of factly, she's going to get an abortion. There are no characters that sway her either way, good or bad. I thought the acting was phenomenal, and I've seen a lot of people on film Twitter talk about, you know, with the lack of options out there right now, could this girl end up getting some awards love come award season? I think it's a possibility. I think you guys should check this film out. It's only about an hour and 40 minutes. It doesn't feel long. And your heart just goes out to her because you know that there are a lot of girls who go through this same thing nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just opens your eyes to what it's like outside of the Northeast and California bubble that we all live in.
Mm-hmm. How'd you watch it, Tom? Did you rent it?
something? Rented it on Prime. Yeah.
And how much was it now? Because I know originally it was like a $20 rental.
Originally it was $20, and then it fell to $11.99. It's been on my list for a while. I kept bumping it because then I found out, oh, okay, it's only going to be $4.99. So that to me is very well worth the rental.
Yeah.
Had you guys heard about it?
Definitely.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's directed by the same woman who did Beach Rats.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was an interesting film.
That was pretty interesting. Yeah, so I like her. So I'm totally into it. I definitely want to check it out. Cool.
And that's my list.
All right, good choices. All right, Foom, what do you have for us?
So the first thing I want to talk about is I May Destroy You. It is on HBO, and it's a new series from Michaela Cole. I am a huge fan of her series, mm-hmm. Chewing Gum. So I definitely wanted to check this out when I saw it. It is an add it to your list. Oh my God, is it an add? It is so good.
It is good. It is good. But Foom, let me ask you this before you get into it. I just found out today that season one is 12 episodes. Do you feel like that's a little long?
No.
Interesting.
Is it half an hour or an hour?
Half hour.
Oh,
half an
hour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
not
fine.
At all. Yeah, so to Tom's point, this is simultaneously airing in London as it is in HBO. They're ahead of us in London, so they get episodes early. So yes, it's 12 episodes. Cool. HBO is airing its fourth episode coming as of this upcoming Monday. So
three episodes already?
They're already on the on the platform. So this is the story. Michaela Cole plays a young writer, Arabella, who is writing a story. She's on a deadline for a book, and she's gotten popular, I guess, from her like social media. Like, some of her tweets have gone out. They became really popular, so she ended up getting this book deal. She has a bit of writer's block after going to Italy to write, so she returns home to London, and a night out results in a tragic incident that she's trying to make sense of in her mind of, like, what happened and what's going on. And so this is a comedy drama, but from her background for Chewing Gum, I really thought this was a comedy. So the first episode, I kind of wasn't sure if I liked it or what I was going to think about it. I was a little on the fence. I was like, I don't really know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
But baby, let me tell you, the second episode, like, spectacular, extraordinary.
It's just so raw and
raw.
And like,
it looks
intense.
It from the trailer.
Oh my God. I mean, there's a moment where she's sitting with a friend and she's talking to authorities, and a realization comes over her, and it's just like, I watched the scene like four times. Like, it was done so perfectly. It's just like, Michaela Cole's writing. I mean, she writes everything herself. Like, all the Chewing Gum she wrote on her own. This is unfortunately a true story for her. When she was writing Chewing Gum, an incident occurred in her real life. In her second season, and this is based, she wrote this, I May Destroy You, to help her get through what happened to her.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, as we all know, Chewing Gum didn't end up, I mean, she only did two seasons, but I guess part of what, the reason why she didn't finish is because of what happened, which we'll see play out in the currents of I May Destroy You.
Wow.
I May Destroy You is funny, but it's also intense. And the way that we're going to follow her journey, I find it fascinating. Every episode, I want to know more. I want to see more. I want to understand more. I want to know more about her friendships. She's got a really close friend, Terry, a really close friend, Kwame. There's a question about whether another friend of hers set her up that I'm intrigued by, that I want to know more about. It's just like, I can't say enough amazing things about this show.
Wow.
Adele even posted about it on her Instagram about how amazing it is. So if you need like a big name to kind of get you to like watch this.
If you need bigger than our names, Adele's certified.
Adele has certified this shit. It is the bomb. Okay. Like the acting, the music, it's just the latest episode. Tom and I were texting about it. I mean, she does two things I've never seen done on TV before, ever. Like, ever done on TV before.
Wow. Oh, like, I'm so excited to watch it.
It is so, so good.
Now, Foom, can you compare it to any other shows at all? Like, because it sounds like it's such a weird mix of comedy and, like, intense drama. Is there anything else that you've seen that's like it? Or is this pretty
I wouldn't
unique?
Even say intense drama, Mark, because even in the dramatic moments where you're just like, oh my God, like your heart goes out and you feel like what she's going through, she still finds brevity in those moments, where it's okay. not like you sit in sadness. It's like,
is it kind of like, is it kind of like Fleabag a little bit, or was that
no.
too
yes. I won't compare it to Fleabag okay. because I do feel like Fleabag was very intense in certain moments, especially the yeah. first season. I would mm-hmm. say the first season, no, maybe the second season a little, I would compare it a little bit.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't really do those comparisons because I really do feel like this show stands on its own. Like it cool. really is like Michaela Cole really does do something that I've never seen done on TV before. And I can't wow. say that about Fleabag, yeah. but like yeah. it is okay. just, it was shocking. I mean, every single person, I've been tweeting about this show. I've been telling people to watch it. Like I'm just like trying to get as many people to watch the show as I can. And like the latest episode, I had probably were talking like 10 different people. They were like, what the fuck did I just watch? Wow. But like in a funny way, like yeah. even Tom was like, what the hell is that? And I don't want to give it away because I think part of what makes it so hilarious is totally like not knowing what is going to happen. But, okay.
Now, do you need to have seen Chewing Gum?
Oh, no, haven't seen that yet. It is, okay. It is totally, okay. They have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I will wow. say one thing I really like about the show, Fumi, side note, is it presents Italian culture also in a non-American romanticized way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I think that's refreshing because, you know, Americans,
yeah.
anytime that we have entertainment that's about Italian culture, it's the Under the Tuscan Sun. This
yeah, yeah, yeah.
is not like that at
it
all.
It just feels
it's
like
the
an
European
everyday,
way.
Yeah, yes. it just feels like an yeah. everyday life of, like, Italians. And, like, the men that she's got on the show, they're gorgeous men. Like, the dude she's dating.
Biagio, or, yeah.
Oh, my God, he's stunning. So, yeah, it's super cool. I mean, it's just, it's such a good show. Oh, I can't have enough, like, positive things to say about
wow.
it.
Wow.
It's so good.
Awesome. Okay.
So add I May Destroy You to your list. Like, seriously, Mark, like, go watch it now.
Oh,
and
I can't
don't
wait.
Make up your mind off of the first episode, like the second episode. Like, I was in.
Interesting. So what, the first episode is just, okay.
It's fine.
It's yeah. fine, but honestly, like, the ending, you're kind of just like, how is this going to be a comedy? Like, that was literally my
Weird.
First thought. The very ending of the first episode, I was like, there's no way this is a comedy. This isn't funny. But huh. then she does it, and she pulls it off.
And it works. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I love hearing that. All right.
Okay. And so then my second episode, I want to talk about Yvonne Orji's stand-up comedy, Mama, I Made It. This is an add to your list as well. It's on HBO. It's about an hour and like 10 or 15 minutes. So it's not a very okay. long stand-up. It basically, Yvonne Orji, for those who don't know, plays Molly on Insecure, and she is a comedian. Like, that is her background. She acts, but she, like, her blood, sweat, tears, like, she has been fighting to be a comedian for her
Okay.
career. So this stand-up takes place, I believe she filmed it in, I think it was in Washington, D.C. I'm not even sure. But she goes back to Nigeria, and she showcases, like, Nigerian roots and her family. Her parents spend half of their time in Nigeria and half of their time in, like, Maryland. So she showcases their life in Nigeria. And it's so funny. Like, it's honestly, she has great jokes. Yvonne Orji, in real life, she's, like, very Christian and very much in tune with, like, her religion and her spirituality. She's like a good-hearted person. She carries jokes really, really funny. It's not overtly like R anyway. Like, she doesn't yeah. really push the envelope in terms of her language or sexuality. But it's still done so well. Like, she cracks jokes that still make you laugh. They still make you think. She has one joke in there that I'm not going to give away, but honestly, I was, like, tears coming down my face. I was laughing so hard because it was so funny, because it was so relatable. Like, all of us can relate to, like, what she says and being at that point of, like, I've made it. Like, I have struggled. Like, her whole thing in her stand-up is, like, I have struggled. Like, she talks about how she has been so broke that she, like, has to go on a date with a guy just to be able to, like, eat a meal. You know, to, like, now being in a position where, you know, she's tweeted about she's paid off her student loan. She's tweeted about the fact that, like, she's bought a house. Like, she has made it. So It's really, really funny. I strongly suggest you watch it. She runs the gamut between, like, her family life, her Hollywood life, her personal life, her dating life. It's just hilarious. So check out Mama, I Made It, Yvonne Orji stand-up on HBO.
Okay.
Cool. I love that. And I love, Foom, how you do give us the occasional stand-up specials to add to our list.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. We need a time where we can just, like, literally laugh for like at least an hour, you know, like important for us to be able to have that in this current
and I'm pretty climate. Sure on the show maybe a year or two ago you talked about Hannah Gadsby's comedy special, which was great, and I feel like she just came out
she came out with her second one. I haven't watched the second one yet.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, cool, love that. All right, so my turn. I have two things as well to tell you all about, two things I'm loving. First up, everyone, please do yourself a favor and add the TV show Quiz to your list. Now, have you two even heard about this?
I have.
Nope.
Okay, Fumi has. Okay, because I feel like it hasn't really been promoted a lot. No. And it's on, right?
AMC?
And it's on AMC, which it's so funny. AMC used to be like cream of the crop. When you think about Breaking Bad, Mad Men, the beginning of The Walking Dead. And now it's like, oh yeah, AMC, what is that, right? Turn on AMC, go to the, I found it on the app. I think on the app you have to put in a cable provider, but please find this show. It's a partnership with BBC America as well. Mm-hmm. The TV show Quiz, 3 episodes. Foom, did you watch this?
I haven't watched it. I'm going to watch it because I'm intrigued by the story behind it.
Oh, yes. You will love it. You guys will love it. Okay, it's 3 episodes. It's a mini series, and it is fast, baby. The first episode. Each episode is about an hour, maybe a little more with like some commercials. They pack the info in. Guys, Quiz is about the true story of the very beginning of the hit TV show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in London, not in the US. It came from the UK first. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is about the start of that show and how a man named Charles Ingram was a contestant and was one of the very first people to ever win $1 million. And then there was a whole legal scandal, a whole crime scandal that he and his wife cheated.
Mm-hmm.
It is fascinating. It's darkly funny. The acting is superb.
Anybody famous in it?
A few faces.
A few faces. You'll know. Michael Sheen plays the host. Chris Tarrant. He's great. He's great in everything. Matthew McFadden, who right now is also on Succession. He plays the lead, Charles Ingram, and his wife. Fumi and Tom, you watched Fleabag. You both will know. Oh my God, I loved her in Fleabag. I don't know how to say her name. Cyan Clifford. She played Fleabag's moody sister.
Yeah.
She plays
Diana Ingram, the wife, who is obsessed with trivia, obsessed with quizzes. She and her brother are obsessed with this brand new huge TV show, and they want to get on the show. And then her husband gets on the show, and it's this whole plan. But what's so amazing is, because this is actually based on a play. The writer of the play, James Graham, also has show run this show. And it's also based on a whole book about the whole scandal. What's so great, guys, is each of the 3 episodes is like a whole different kind of perspective. Mm. You get the start of the show and the rabid immediate interest. This was a hit out of the park.
Yeah.
Second episode, and I don't want to give anything away. Second episode is now about like the scheming. And then the 3rd episode is all about the trial. And can I just give a shout out to an amazing actress, Helen McCrory. She plays their lawyer. You might not know her name. She's been around for a while. She was excellent in Penny Dreadful season 2. Super scary. Helen McCrory, everyone. Give her the goddamn Emmy. She is fantastic. I'm telling you, the acting's great. You gotta watch Quiz. I told my parents to watch it. Within 3 hours, my dad said, oh my God, that was the best thing I've seen in a while.
So, oh, really? Okay.
Please watch Quiz. They finished the show before we finished it. He was like texting me like, we're now at this part. I'm like, okay, don't spoil it. We're not there yet.
Are the episodes an hour each or they run a little longer?
They're right about an hour. They might be a little longer because it might have been the kind of thing when it aired on AMC with commercials. Maybe it was like, you know how FX does like 1 hour and 15 minutes, you know. So it's a great, oh my gosh, I can't imagine it being any shorter. The first episode, we had to keep pausing. I do recommend, because it is British, you know, I'm the kind of person where I do need subtitles, and a show like this where it is always so fast paced, Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't know if maybe they felt pressure to get it to 3 instead of 4 episodes. This show, the only critique is some things do not breathe. So they are throwing a lot of info at you. Oh. So grab your notepad and take some notes because you are going to go on the wild ride of quiz. Watch okay. it. Now I would love to watch the play. When theaters are reopened, please.
I had no idea this was a play, though. I have to say that. Yeah. I had no idea.
It was a play, I guess, a few years ago. And then I guess with
on the West
interest,
End?
Was it? West End. Okay. Yeah. I don't think it ever came to the U.S. Okay. It never was on Broadway. I think it was West End only, maybe touring, you know, abroad. So, yeah, check it out. Quiz. It is a lot of fun. And, I mean, everyone loves Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, even if it's kind of cheesy now. Although it came back with Jimmy Kimmel, which is kind of
random.
And
was really successful.
Really successful. It is fun.
I didn't even know it came back.
Yeah, it did.
Tom.
Celebrity of it.
Where you been? Yes. Jane Fonda. All sorts of stuff.
Andy Cohen. Yeah. Anderson Cooper. They were the season
yes.
finale.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, Foom, do you know, did they shot, they must have shot all that before?
They did. They shot up, I think, right until like the second to last episode right before quarantine hit. And then I think they just tried to get in and finish it before like lockdown really happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of perfect timing with that coming back. This, watch quiz. And then my other item that I really like, add this brand new, fresh to Netflix movie Eurovision Song Contest to your lists, everyone. It's super funny. You might remember a long time ago I have raved about Eurovision. I've gone to a couple Eurovision parties hosted by friend of the podcast CC, my good friend. Eurovision, if you've never watched the actual real annual event, it is a wild, crazy, like American Idol on steroids. It's all these different European countries performing and competing for the title of Eurovision winner. And then whoever wins, whichever country wins the next year, they then host the next Eurovision, right? So it stars Will Ferrell, who also wrote it, and it stars Rachel McAdams, Oscar nominee, doing a wacky, wacky comedy, which is always fun. It's a good time. It's very silly. It's a dumb, fun comedy. Have it with
It
some
takes
drinks.
Place in Iceland?
It takes place in Iceland, okay. Yes.
A friend of mine who loves Iceland just as much as I did, emailed me this morning to say she was very upset about the European travel ban that is looking to go into effect, and she said, you know, because last election day we went after the day after the election, we went to Iceland together, and we were hoping to maybe do that again just for escapism, no matter what the outcome is. And she said, check out that movie if you're looking for your Iceland fix. So are there scenes of Iceland?
How funny.
Oh my God, it's beautiful, guys. It's beautiful. Netflix pumped some money into this. Not only are there beautiful shots, I haven't looked it up, but if they're not really in Iceland, they're in some beautiful country that's just, they're just pretending to be Iceland. And the sets, I mean, if you've seen Eurovision, I do recommend, because there are a lot of fun cameos in this movie, do watch some Eurovision clips from the last couple years at least. Just do some YouTubing, because there's some really great stuff. But even the sets, the lights, I mean, Netflix pumped some money into this. But yes, basically, a brief little plot. Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams are friends named Lars and Sigrid from Iceland. They're kind of they're very sweet, but they're kind of like the country bumpkins of Iceland. They've never really left.
Do they the accent?
Oh yes, they do the accent. They are right out of like Bjork. They sound just like Bjork. Rachel McAdams believes in elves and prays to the elves that they'll get to the Eurovision contest. Pierce Brosnan, who is aging beautifully, damn you, Pierce Brosnan, James Bond, he plays Will Ferrell's disapproving father. It is a little bit like Zoolander in that way, where dad doesn't think, you know, Lars should be singing and wasting his time with Eurovision and being like a sissy, that kind of thing. So it's very interesting.
Wait, I just have to go to Zoolander, because honestly, that's one of the funny...
Oh, Foom, it's the
what
best.
What is this, the Center for Ants?
It's the best. And this is, you know what? It really is. Obviously, Will Ferrell was in Zoolander and killed it. And this really does kind of feel like a companion piece to that. So I'm glad you like Zoolander. Anyone out there that loves the silly, weird comedies, this is for you. But so, yeah, they're friends. They love music. They are heavily inspired by ABBA, because little did we know, ABBA was an early Eurovision winner. They actually became famous because of Eurovision.
Yeah.
And so they're either obsessed with ABBA. There's some good ABBA songs in the movie. And so I won't tell you how, but they have made their way to the contest, and it's a whole not only will they or won't they win, but also a will they or won't they romance. The only critique I have is that
with Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams.
Oh yeah. My only critique, and I'm glad you bring that up, Foom, is that I do wish Rachel McAdams' character wasn't so kind of in love and obsessed with Will Ferrell. There's a whole dynamic that he wants them to win and she wants him to be happy. And I'm kind of like, but there's some good stuff there. So don't, if that sounds kind of like wah-wah to you, keep watching. She's got some good stuff. But I just kind of wish, you know, she wasn't only like wanting him to be happy and she wanted herself to be happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dan Stevens, who's been around for a while, he's great. There's some good people in it. Check it out. You'll laugh. It's silly. It's a good time. It's a perfect Netflix movie. And in a year where we can't have the real Eurovision, this is a damn fine second place Eurovision contender in my book. So you'll get your spectacle and your laughs and your dancing and singing. So check that out. Eurovision Song
cool.
Contest.
Fun.
Yeah. And that is our list, ladies and gentlemen. So to recap, let's add it up. Tom gave us Shirley, which we all have watched for the most part. And that is a one and done. But the rest are all ads of the evening. So never, rarely, sometimes, always. Check that out. It's probably going to be talked about come awards season. Independent film that is an add this to your list. Fumi gave us HBO's I May Destroy You, which sounds great. Add that to your list. And also add Yvonne Orji's Mama, I Made It comedy special. And that's also on HBO, you
yes.
said, right, Fum?
Yep.
Yes. So Fumi's our HBO queen this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gave you two ads as well. Quiz, a miniseries on AMC. Check that out. And Eurovision Song Contest, a brand new Netflix movie. Add that to your list as well. And that is it. And don't forget to check us out on social, because every now and then we do give some extra bonus ads. So not everything is on this show, guys. So just letting
Indeed.
You know.
Indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that, Mark, and it looks like the residents of Danbury, Connecticut, where I live, know that we're about to talk about Hamilton, because, sorry, listeners, if you hear fireworks going off in the background,
ooh.
This is what happens every year at this time on the lake where I live, and especially this year when the official fireworks have been canceled, people are blasting their own fireworks off nonstop at all hours
oh,
of
God. Oh, no, it's in every major city.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so
bad.
This is timely right now.
Yeah.
Because fireworks is a great segue into Hamilton. So we all know, as we've said, that Hamilton is going to be dropping on Disney Plus on July 3rd.
It
was supposed to drop in 2021, and then the pandemic hit, and Disney was like, you know what? Let's bump it up.
Oh.
So basically, it's going to be a filmed version of the stage musical with the original cast, yes, including Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm-hmm. Now, really quickly, before we get into our own musical discussion, I haven't seen Hamilton.
I've tried, but the
tickets are outrageously expensive. Fumi,
you
I know you
gotta do
have.
The lottery. The lottery. I saw it for $10.
Oh, so you both have seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Fumi loves it. I like it. It's good. It's not you know, earth-shattering for me. But I appreciate anyone that does find it earth-shattering.
Now, Mark, will you watch it again on the platform?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Definitely. I saw it a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I still listen to the soundtrack
oh, yeah.
like once a month.
The music, I mean, once you hear the music, you will not get that out of your head, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. I love, a couple years ago when the mixtape came out, I love,
yes.
still to this day, Kelly Clarkson's version of It's Quiet Uptown.
Yep.
So I'm actually, and I've heard the actual original recording. Live cast original recording of it. So I love that song, but I am unfamiliar with everything else. So I'm
Tom, I will say this. Being a history buff, you are going to be obsessed with this. And I think that's part of the reason why I love it so much, because I love history.
Okay.
And I cried after watching this because I could not believe, even though this is based off of the book, Alexander Hamilton, I could not believe that this came out of one person's mind.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It is
It's a lot of work.
Spectacular. Like, mm-hmm. Like chills. I get chills talking about it right now. Like, it's
I'm excited.
Amazing.
I can't wait.
And I guess they must have shot it, I guess, with the original cast a long time ago,
they
knowing
did.
That one day they'll sell this to someone.
Yeah.
It's so mm-hmm. interesting. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So wow. anyway, yeah, that's July 3rd. And so in celebration of that and in anticipation of that, we thought, why don't we talk our own movie musical? So we've each picked what we consider our favorite musical made movie, right? Something mm-hmm. that was on stage at one point that was turned into a film production. And then we're also going to talk about one musical that has not been made into a movie yet that we wish would. Mm-hmm. Mark, why don't you go first?
Ooh, me first? Ooh. Okay, so obviously this was a very hard choice because I love even bad movie musicals. I mean, Cats, hello, anyone? So my choice for favorite movie musical, this was tough, but I am going to go with something I think is a little left field, but I loved it when I first saw it as a kid. I am picking it because it is very memorable to me. The sets, the music, it is totally something once you see, you do not forget. And that is The Wiz with Diana Ross and Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Yep. I know he's canceled. Fair. But, you know. Yeah. And I saw that when I was young. Obviously, we all know the story of The Wizard of Oz. I thought this movie was kind of scary. I mean, do you remember? Yeah. You guys saw The Wiz a long mm-hmm. time ago, probably.
Yeah, a long
right?
time ago.
Right? And it takes place in the city. So obviously it's a very gritty, it was made in the 70s, late 70s, very gritty, strange, kind of scary Wizard of Oz. And the subway, like locking them in, and the subway monsters. I mean, the subway's scary enough. And I thought, like, just the whole set design and the costumes were, it felt like a weird dream. So I have to give it up for The Wiz because that really stuck with me. And the music is just so good. It's so good with the scarecrow and the crows and, oh, my God, everything. I love it. So I'm going to give it up for The Wiz. Also, fun fact, super random. Do you guys know who wrote the screenplay for The Wiz movie musical? Who adapted it from the theater musical?
Who?
I feel like I knew at one point. Like, it's a bit of trivia that I heard.
The very late, rest in peace, Joel Schumacher.
Oh, wow.
Random. I did not know that. He wrote the script based on the stage musical for the movie. Super random fun fact. So RIP Joel Schumacher. So yes, so that is The Wiz. And then the movie I would love to see done. It's been done before. So sorry, time. I'm sort of bending the rules. It has been done a long, 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 long time ago. I'm talking black and white. So I would love, and I'm not going to lie, I did it in high school and ever since. Don't anyone copy me. But I would love, I've always wanted the chance to direct a new movie musical of 42nd Street. And here's why. The story is not the strongest. I saw it just last year at the Agunqua Playhouse, and I remembered, yeah, you know, it's fun, it's great, but not much goes on. I would love to see a new take on it with the best cinematography. Give those tap dancers the camera, baby, and maybe beef up the story a little bit because it's ultimately kind of a little, there's no real lead character, and so you could really flesh it out and make it as best as it can be. So I'd love to see 42nd Street on the big screen.
Okay.
With all the glitz and glamour.
Nice.
Yeah.
Foam, what do you got?
I'm going to go with one of my favorite musicals of all time. It's actually in my top 10 favorite movies, and I'm just going to go with Chicago. I love,
yes.
love.
I almost picked
glad.
That.
I'm so glad
I had to pick that.
I had a feeling Fumi would go for that because we've talked about that offline. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, yes, yeah. I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm. It's such a great film. It's such a great musical. The music, the acting, the way that I think it was done perfectly when they did it with Queen Latifah and Renee Zellweger and
Catherine
Zeta
Jones.
Yeah,
my God.
They like hit it out of the park the first time, so I don't ever want to see it done again. I feel like it would be hard to top it.
Agreed.
And so, I mean, yeah, I don't even have really much to say about it. It's just like fantastic. I feel like if you don't like that, then like, what are you doing? Like, what do you like if you don't like that? Yeah.
And that won the best picture that year.
It did.
Oh yeah.
Totally. And it holds up well.
It does.
I just watched it earlier this year. It's beautiful and funny.
Yeah.
And what a great different version of the, you know? Yeah.
And then I also am bending the rules a little bit, Tom, as well for my second choice. I'm actually going to go with a musical that I never want to see again. And I'm really tired of this constantly getting made into a film for some reason. And that's Les Mis.
Yes, bitch, preach.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't really understand why this is constantly being a film again and again and again. I saw Les Mis when I was in eighth grade on Broadway, It was a French class field trip, and I knew then that I didn't really like it. It wasn't for me. It's extremely long. It's boring. I don't have anything positive to say about it. And for some reason, I feel like every 2 years, this musical gets made into a film.
There's like a new version. Whether it's musical or not, it's like you still see Les Mis, the title, right?
I don't get it. I mean, I don't understand. So to all those listening out there, there are so many other beautiful musicals that are on Broadway, off Broadway. Pick one of those. Don't do Les Mis anymore.
Yeah. Listeners, we dreamed a dream, and it's never to see it on screen again.
Seriously.
So.
I have to agree. Because the music, we know the music is great, but yeah, it's a snoozy.
Is it great, though?
I do think the music is great. Some of those songs are really beautiful, but also some of them are bedtime lullabies that'll just drift you into sleep.
Like, I cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, I will wrap us up. So I had a hard time picking my favorite movie musical because, really, we wanted to pick something that was on stage first. Uh-oh, my internet connection is unstable. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't really hear you, but I just was nodding when I heard every 10th word.
Same. Okay.
Looks like it's better now. So... I had a hard time with this because really the premise was to pick a movie, a musical that was on stage first and that was made into a movie. If I had to pick my favorite musical of all time, my favorite movie musical, it would be Moulin Rouge.
However,
I'm going to stick to the rules and I'm going to say that my favorite movie musical is Mamma Mia. I know it's not the greatest.
Oh, it's so fun.
It's just so much fun.
The second one?
The first one. I didn't love the second one.
I remember.
But the first one I love. It's energetic. It's filmed in Greece, so you've got beautiful scenery to look at. Well, yeah. It's got Meryl Streep. I love the duet between Amanda Seyfried and Dominic Cooper when they do
Lay
All Your Love on Me.
Yes,
what a
on
catchy
the beach.
Fucking tune. The dancing is corny, but who cares? Pierce Brosnan can't sing, but who cares? I just love Mamma Mia, and I could watch that movie over and over again. If it's on TV, I'm always like, ooh, I'm clearing my schedule. I'm going to check this out.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. And I love the ABBA and Eurovision connection. Look at what we did there.
There you go. And a stage musical that I would love to see made into a film is Aida. I saw that years ago with my parents when Deborah Cox was in it, because I'm being a Jersey boy, I'm a huge Deborah Cox fan, obviously. And remember, she
did
had
you
those
just claim
two...
Jersey? What?
I mean, we're all from Jersey, but okay.
No, but Fumi's saying, because I usually say that I'm from Connecticut. But...
yeah, true. Or
I saw that years ago on the stage with when Deborah Cox was playing Aida. I loved it. And I remember when I saw it on stage thinking that it was so cinematic, even the way that it was produced for Broadway. It would just make a wonderful film.
I'm
surprised they never did it.
I'm too.
I can picture some scenes still in my head working as a film.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I would have loved to see it done with Deborah Cox in the movie, but, you know, obviously
you think
too much time has passed.
She's too old, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But I wish they would make that into a movie.
Was she in it with Adam Pascal from, like, Rent?
She was, yep.
Yeah, you saw him, yeah. Yep. I agree with you, Tom. I saw it a long time ago in high school, and I thought it was really mesmerizing, and I loved that that was one of the few musicals that didn't actually end with a big, you know, ta-da, showstopper.
Yeah,
no, it was a very quiet, beautiful...
In a museum, and that was very, that scene in particular is very cinematic to me. Like,
absolutely.
I feel like I could direct that scene like that.
Oh,
so anyway,
that is my wish.
That is my wish list.
And it is weird because it's a Disney musical. You would think by now Disney would be like, yeah, how do we turn Aida into a movie or something, right? So I'm also shocked there's no Wicked movie musical yet. I mean,
it's in the works.
It's been in the works for like 10
years.
So
is Evan Hansen apparently too. So
meh, it's fine.
So that is our episode, folks. That was a good one.
Yeah.
We hope you check out Hamilton, and we hope you check us out in 2 weeks when we get back. But in the meantime, be sure to engage with us on social, review us on iTunes. Please, 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 stars and words. Give us 5 stars and give us all the beautiful words that you have. And then listen to past episodes if you want on addthistoyourlist.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it for now, guys. Toodles.
Cool.
Bye.
We'll be right back.